James 4, verse 8, or verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And we've talked before about how, you know, when he says to cleanse your hands, you sinners, your hands are your actions, your hands are your works, your hands are the things you do, the way you live your life, the way you present yourself to the world. And in everything you do, you know, do it as a Christian, and do it with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And when he says purify your heart, you double-minded, is purify your desires, purify, you know, what is your heart really desire? Does it really desire the Word of God? Or does it desire the things of the world? And that's why you have to cleanse your heart if you're double-minded, because you're trying to live in between two states, in between two worlds. And Brother Branham says in Convinced and Concerned, is if I couldn't see anything coarse, I wouldn't say nothing about it. I'd just go ahead. First thing I'd set down, look it up in the scripture and see if it was the Bible first, because that's where all truth comes from, the Bible. So he's... In the message, Convinced and Then Concerned, he's saying that people have to be convinced of the truth before they actually start living out, you know, these things, before they actually start wanting to spread the gospel or talk about it, or even to read their Bible. They have to be somewhat convinced that this is the truth, and convinced in a way. And once you read your Bible and you see the truth and you see it being revealed to you, and God gives you those revelations, that's when you can be convinced and then concerned about the Word and concerned about other, you know, believers, other people who maybe have not received that revelation yet. And he says, and I believe tonight that's a whole lot the matter with our churches and our full gospel ranks here in America, that we have seen so much of the goodness of God till it has become common to us. We just don't respect it like we should. We think we do, but I really believe that we should give more earnest heed to that which we have heard. So he's saying that, you know, and you kind of see this sometimes if you've been to another country or poorer countries where, you know, maybe they don't have all the resources or access to certain things that we have, but they revere God much more because, you know, and this happens in multiple of the church ages where, you know, different churches, depending on how prosperous or privileged their economic, you know, situation was, or the country was, or how big their government was, you saw that some churches would then kind of relax and not be so strict on the doctrine and not, you know, care as much about the Word and not be as concerned or convinced about, you know, what the Bible says or what does God think about this, but because they had a lot of their earthly desires already met and in place, they then, you know, didn't lean to God as much. But when you see people in poor conditions, sometimes they tend to lean to God more because they don't have anywhere else to go, so they have that more of that desperation. That's why sometimes you'll see God move a lot more for them because they lean on Him just that much more. So sometimes what we get out of, you know, our faith and our belief in the gospel is based on how much we lean into those things. And that's why, you know, in verse 9 it says, be afflicted and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned to mourning. And then sometimes God will allow those things to happen to you so that you do turn to Him. So, and that's kind of why there's a lot of... how do I say it? Like relax or just maybe you could even call it laziness or just not really concerned, or that people are very nonchalant about the Word or about church or about these different things because a lot of their needs and direct needs are met. But when you see places where people's not a lot of the direct needs are met, they lean into God so much more. And sometimes if we're not in that position, as James is saying, you know, be afflicted and mourn and weep. And sometimes God will allow you certain things to happen so that you do get into that position of some kind of desperation or reaching out to God for an answer or for a healing or a salvation or something like that. So you can get to that place where you reach out or you cry out to God, and then you can finally, once you humble yourself in that way, then He can come and minister to your needs. And Brother Ram says, it's because they haven't been convinced yet that it's God with us. I believe that people really do sincerely think that God is in programs of organizing churches, making big denominations and bringing more people in and building finer buildings and so forth like that. That that they think that's God's program. That isn't God's program. It never was. He never did commission us to do that. Though as good as they are, He never did say, go into all the world and build schools, yet we like them, they're all right. Never did say, go build hospitals, yet thank God for every one of them. That's the other people's business. But the minister is preach the gospel. And the gospel come not in word only, but through power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. That's the commission, that to missionary, and always missionary is right, yes. So, and if you know anything about, you know, the Catholic Church and even other, you know, Orthodox or other denominations where they kind of put a little bit more emphasis on the church, and they'll have you know, programs and certain things, and they will build schools, and you know, you can look at different hospitals. If a hospital is named Saint Jude, Saint something, that's usually a hospital that was started by a church or a Catholic organization or something like that, or schools that are named after Saint something or this, that. Sometimes they have religious names, and usually those are schools or institutions that have been built up by the church. And those, and like Brother Branham's saying, those things are good, but our main focus as Christians is not to build schools and to build churches and to do these things, but really it's to get the word out, to get the gospel out. So that's what we should always really be concerned about, is living a righteous life and then obtaining a real experience with God and getting that new birth, and then trying to tell other people about it, really trying to express that to other people, express the how crucial it is, and really just, it really does make you concerned. And Brother Branham, actually, I'm pretty sure at one point he says that's one of the evidences of the Holy Ghost, is that you then want everyone else to have it. You get it, and then you want it. You want the whole world to have it. You want everyone to have it. You want everyone to be saved and to know God the way you know God. So it's going to be a desire on your heart once you're convinced of the truth, once you're convinced that this is the truth, when you're convinced that Jesus died for your sins, once you're convinced that this is the only path to salvation, when you're convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's nothing else outside of Him, then you'll be concerned for those who don't know Him. And that's why Brother Branham's emphasizing that is the main message, because we can build schools and hospitals and organizations and all those things, and those things can help people, but the eternal blessings are going to be in the word that's shared. You know, it's great to build a hospital or a school, but how many, you know, how many souls did that hospital or school save, you know, and look at things and maybe the way God looks at them. Or they might be healed here, or they might get an education at this school, but is their soul going to be right with God? Are they going to see God in heaven? Are they going to, you know, be right on judgment day? Can they say it is well with my soul and truly mean it and understand what that means and know the truths of the Bible and the mysteries that God's revealed to us? So those are the things that will often take preeminence over, you know, just building a school or building a hospital or those things. And that's the true role of the church, is not necessarily to have this organization, even though they can be beneficial, but really to get the word out. Brother Branham says, why was John so certain that he knew this was the Messiah? Because first he was convinced it was the Messiah. You cannot do very much until you are convinced, and then you become concerned. But until you are convinced, you are not very concerned. I'm sure tonight that people who criticize divine healing, criticize shouting or any other thing that the Bible has, or the gifts of the Spirit, the reason that they criticize is because they are not concerned in it, because they have not been convinced yet. That's right. But you let it happen to you once, and then you'll know what's the matter with these people. You'll see if it's ever someone said they don't believe in divine healing, you just haven't been sick enough yet. That's all. That's one thing, sure. So similar to what James is saying here, where he's saying if you're doubting these things, if you're having to cleanse your actions, your works, if you're having to purify your heart because you're double-minded and you're kind of in between two worlds, you need to get to that point of desperation where it's like, I need God now. And even Brother Branham's saying, if you don't believe in divine healing, you just haven't been sick enough. You haven't been desperate enough to call out for God and see Him work in your time of desperation and need. So that's what he's saying, when you haven't been sick enough yet, that's why you don't believe in divine healing. Because if you were concerned, if you got sick enough that you were so concerned, you have to call out to God and for something to happen. And if you ask, you know, faithfully, he'll answer that prayer. But if you get sick enough, you're gonna get desperate enough to humble yourself before God and ask for something to be done for you. And that's why he's saying that people were not convinced. And Brother Branham says, goes on to say, Andrew was concerned about his brother after he had stayed with Jesus all night. But I'm afraid that that's what's the matter with our churches today, brother, sister. We just don't stay long enough. We run in and shake hands with the pastor, but put our name on the book and go home. Call yourself a church member with no burden for the lost at all. So, I mean, there's two parts to this quote. And one of them is that, you know, Andrew was concerned about his brother after he'd stayed with Jesus all night. And he says, that's what's the matter with our churches today. We don't stay long enough. So if God is moving in your life in any, even in a, just a little bit, or you feel a little bit of tug on your heart for the word of God, or you're just curious about what you know the scripture has to offer, just stay. Just continue to read the Bible. Continue to seek answers. And continue to ask questions. Continue to just stay with in that atmosphere as long as you can. Continue to listen to that pull. If there's a pull in your heart for God, continue to listen to that. Don't ever, you know, think, oh, well, you know, I'm not where I think I should be as a Christian, but you have to continue to stay and hold on to God as for as long as you can, and then he will bless you. You know, the same way that Brother Graham kind of talks about this later, the way that Jacob, you know, wrestled with the Lord, and he wouldn't let go, and he just continued to hold on to that. You know, it's the same way that we should hold on to God's word and hold on to our Christian experience and keep coming to church and keep reading our Bible and continue to seek these things until, you know, they're made real to us or we understand them better or we get a new birth. So just continue and just stay. Don't give up so too easily, too quickly, but continue to stay and God will bless you. And then the second part of the quote is, you know, you don't just shake hands with the pastor or put your name in a book and go home. But he says, call ourselves a church member with no burden for the lost at all. So once you are convinced and concerned, you will be concerned once you're convinced. Because once you realize that, you'll realize where you were at and how lost you were. And realize that the whole world is in that state. The whole world is in a state of being lost. And once you know what the truth is, you will be concern and you will want to tell other people. So God bless you. You're dismissed.
Good food, the power of God, the word of